Alleluia, Christ is risen. Simon, son of John, do you love me? What kind of question was that for Jesus to ask me, his most faithful disciple? 3.5 years, I had followed him from Galilee to Jerusalem, from Samaria to the Decapolis. After all of that, he would ask me if I love him? I wonder how many of you, his disciples in this day and age, would be as hurt as I was by that question. See, after Jesus' death, after his resurrection, we disciples had no idea what we were to do. Christ is risen. But we still didn't know what that meant for us. Jesus' resurrection had changed everything, but how much did it change everything? We didn't know, and so without any better ideas, my brother Andrew and I, along with our old partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, plus Thomas and a couple of the others, we all returned to the Sea of Galilee to go fishing. I imagine you know just how good fishing is for getting your mind off of whatever is troubling you, especially having to haul in all of those nets. Backbreaking work. Well, we were out on the lake all night and we caught nothing. No one here has ever experienced that, I'm sure. And then a man shows up on the shore calling out to see if we had caught anything, and we said no. He said to let down the net on the other side. We didn't have any better ideas, so we did, and we caught an enormous load of fish. And that was how we knew him to be Jesus. Well, what else could we do? We returned to shore with an enormous catch of fish to find breakfast already waiting for us. But then after breakfast, Jesus took me aside and asked his question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. What other answer could I give to that question? Of course I love him. Didn't Jesus know just how much I had sacrificed to and given up for him? When back three and a half years ago, when Andrew had gone off to follow that preacher by the Jordan, John the Baptist, I stayed behind in Galilee, but it wasn't for very long. Andrew came and found me not too long after and brought me to meet this new, even stranger rabbi, Jesus. He said that John the Baptist had pointed to this Jesus and declared, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." With an introduction like that, how could I not be curious? Jesus then, when he saw me, declared that he would name me Cephas, or Peter, meaning the rock, not Dwayne Johnson, or Rocky Balboa. But then I went home with Andrew, and we returned to our nets for a time until suddenly, who should show up but Jesus by the Sea of Galilee, looking for a podium for a sermon. He teaches out of my boat, and then when he finishes, he says, "Let down the nets." I was a little reluctant, but when I did, suddenly we had a huge load of fish, only the first time in my life that it happened. Both times because of Jesus. I was terrified by this, who wouldn't be after all, but Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And I followed. And he healed my mother-in-law and so many others. And from that moment, I was convinced I would never leave his side. And then later on, a couple of years later, he asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And I pipe up and say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God." And he called me blessed. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for your name is Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And that was when I realized what that name Peter actually meant. Because my confession that he is the Christ, that would be the rock on which he built his church. And here you are 2,000 years later, following, built on that foundation of that confession. When people started to fall away from Jesus because of his teaching, it was so hard, I and the other disciples remained. He asked why, and I said, "Lord, to whom should I go? Should we go? You have the words of eternal life." Jesus was the one who promised us eternal blessings. Jesus promised to provide for all that we need forever. And Jesus used us as his instruments and emissaries to heal, to cast out demons, even to raise the dead. And then that night, the night in the upper room when we were celebrating the Passover together, Jesus said that someone in this room would betray him. None of us knew that he meant Judas Iscariot. He said we would all fall away and scatter. But I said, "No, even if they all leave you, I will never leave you. Even if I must die with you, I will not abandon you." And so Jesus here asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Of course I love him." And then he asks it again, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Why would he ask that question again? He already asked. He already knows how much I love him. I had promised to die with him, to die for him. And he asks this again. I was the one who declared him to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And he asks, "Do you love me?" And yet, my mind drifts back just a couple of weeks to that night when he was arrested. Jesus had warned me at supper, but I wouldn't listen. Excuse me. He said that I would deny him 3 times, but I assured him I would not. He said that the devil wanted to sift me like wheat, but I ignored the warning. Should have known that whatever Jesus says, it always comes true. And so when we went to the Garden of Gethsemane together, the men from the Sanhedrin came to arrest him. And Jesus greeted the traitor Judas as a friend. Now I wanted to fight back. I had my sword. I struck off a servant's ear trying to protect my Messiah, but Jesus said not to fight. He said it had to happen. And then he healed the man. And then I ran. All of us ran away and abandoned Jesus, but that's not even the worst thing that I did. I followed after them. John and I both did. Followed with the crowd back to the high priest's palace to see what would happen. They knew John there, and so he got both of us in. And as I was walking through the gate, the servant girl who was there looked closer and asked, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" I panicked and I said no. I didn't want to deny him, but if I'd said yes, then they almost certainly would have taken me and lynched me. And so then we were standing by the fire a few minutes later. A few of the people there asked if I was his disciple. They recognized my accents. And this was even worse. There were so many of them, and so I said no. And then a man I recognized from Gethsemane, a relative of the servant I had attacked, he recognized me from the garden. Didn't I see you there? And what if he attacked me in retribution, even though Jesus had healed the man's ear? And again, I said no. So I did not die with him. I was afraid. I denied him three times, just as he had said I would. Simon, son of John, do you love me? He asked. And I had to think. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But do I? And then he asks a third time. Simon, son of John, do you love me? I denied him three times. I had rebuked him for telling us that he would be killed. Not 5 minutes after that confession, declaring him to be the Christ. I had spoken rashly and thoughtlessly over and over. Satan truly had sifted me like wheat. So then, why was Jesus here now in front of me? I had failed. But then something he had said on that Thursday evening clicked. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus had known that I would fail. Jesus had known that I would deny him. And he had forgiven me even before it happened. Not only that, but he did not take away that calling that he had given me to be his apostle, to be his messenger, to declare his words to people who need to hear it. He had promised to restore and forgive me. In fact, his blood shed on the cross paid for my denial, paid for my sin. So yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He knew that I would deny him. He knew that I would repent. He knew that I would bear his message to the ends of the earth. He even knew that day at the Sea of Galilee how I would glorify him with my death. I denied him three times. He gave me three opportunities to affirm my faith, to reaffirm my call. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And if he could restore and forgive me, what can he do for you? You also are not as faithful of a Christian as he calls you to be. You also have fallen away, failed to speak up when given the opportunity, despite your best efforts. You also are in need of Jesus' forgiveness, of his salvation and restoration, which he won for you on the cross. Do you turn away from him in shame and guilt for having failed? Or will you receive the forgiveness that he has won for you, the reconciliation that he has effected by his blood? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Jesus asked. He asks the same question to you. Do you love him? And we all answer, yes. We confessed our sin and received his forgiveness at the beginning of our service. We confess our faith in the creed, our statement that we love him and who he is. We have sworn to cling to him in all things. We are his people. But that love, your love for him, that is not what saves you. Your own efforts do not bring you to him, any more than my actions. Save and redeem me. I fell short. You fall short. We all fall short. Our love was not enough. My love, your love is not enough, is only a pale imitation of his love. And it is his love, Jesus' love, that saves you. The love which bore him to the cross. The love that reconciles sinners to him. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.